The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Watch Pachulia here. He was thrown down by Gortat.
Uh-oh.
And hit Kevin inadvertently.
That's ouch. Well, we don't know how what the degree is, but that's a hyperextended knee.
Well, looks like the Warriors dodged a bullet, so the rest of the Western Conference can calm down. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday, so we do things a little bit differently when you text or call or tweet or do whatever it is you do. Put odds on it. What are the odds? It's kind of fun having a day off yesterday. Well, it wasn't really,
not bad. Not bad.
Really wasn't a day off for me, but it was a day off from the show.
Right.
So what'd you do with your time off?
I actually spent all – I worked way harder yesterday than I would on a day that we actually worked. I resodded my dad's backyard yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So a pallet and a half of grass and something like 50 bags of topsoil.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's what I did with my day yesterday. Wednesday I have an 11 a.m. jiu-jitsu class, and I woke up at like 9:30, 9:45, and I could barely move. And I was like, well, looks like I'm not going to the gym today. I mean, it has been so long since I put in a full day of manual labor.
Yeah.
But got it done, but that is no life for me, I got to tell you.
I had meetings all day on some of these other things we're working on for Gal, and then, but I did manage to get over to China Garden for some Chinese food. Had a chance to hang out with Carol a little bit. Then last night, my wife had the brilliant idea to go to that secret group that's opened up by us. They had a comedy thing last night where it was a really bad movie, and then the comics made fun of it, which I would love to do something like that. That would be fun. And pretty damn funny, although it was a little estrogeny for me, yeah. Because it was all females, but it was funny stuff. So
it happens.
Just did something different. My wife has turned into a total Edo hipster already. So 713-780-ESPN. Well, at Kevin Durant thing kind of got a little scary last night.
Yeah, I would say that was probably scary. That was a situation that, and listen, it's not ideal as it is. It's something they're going to have to take care of and monitor. But it's a grade 2 MCL sprain and a bone bruise. But it could have been way worse.
Yeah, the bottom line is he'll be back for the playoffs.
Right.
Which means, you know, they'll be fine until then. So, but it could have been a lot worse. If he's out for the playoffs, suddenly it opens things up. And yeah. I still think the Warriors would have been the best team, or will be the best team without him. But that gap is not what it was if he's not in there. And they don't have quite the depth that they used to have because they had to shave some people off to get him. So it could have been a lot worse. And if you're a Warriors fan, that's about as good a news as you could have expected, because, boy, it sure looked a lot worse than that
yeah.
when it happened live. 713-780-ESPN. I don't know, what are the odds Wednesday?
I thought there was an interesting thing that came from this that is sort of out of the blue. Did you read the story about how this could affect the Pacers and Paul George? It could have a $212 million impact for Paul George and the Pacers. Because the question is now, will... Here's the deal. This summer, the Pacers are... They could have a chance to offer Paul George the designated player extension, which is a new CBA rule. And it allows teams to offer big extensions worth 35% of the cap, which is the max,
right,
to star players in the first year of the deal. And that extension for Paul George would be worth about $212 million over 6 years. But to have the possibility to get that extension, you have to be named to an All-NBA team. You have to be the MVP or Defensive Player of the year before. As it stands now, there's two forward spots on each of the All-NBA teams. You've got Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, and Jimmy Butler, who are all probably ahead of Paul George on those lists. All you got to do is finish third team All-NBA.
Right.
So the question comes now, will voters decide that Kevin Durant played enough of a season to name him to the All-NBA team? Because he's not going to play again in the regular season.
Right.
And if they don't, and Paul George makes that team, that could be a $212 million bump for him. If he does, then they can't offer him that extension, and he's going to hit free agency. So it's a pretty interesting thing that has nothing to do with
right.
the Warriors. But, I mean, you can bet the Pacers are watching that going, oh, man. I mean, that's a big deal. So it's still it's sort of a flaw in the rules, but there's a lot riding on how the voters decide what earns you an All-NBA season. Kevin Durant's been phenomenal. I mean, you would argue that besides LeBron James, he's been the best forward in the league this year. So is that enough, though, three quarters of the way through the season? Or not even three quarters of the way, I guess, to put him on the All-NBA team?
That's going to be an interesting question, because just on pure numbers, he's going to belong, but he's also going to have missed the whole last month and then some. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're Paul George, you start jacking it up. I think that's your best move. Try to get that scoring average way up. So you can make that team. 409, what are the odds of Durant's injury cost the Warriors the first seed and in turn cost them the conference championship?
I don't think it did. I think they'll still be the one seed, and I still think they'll win the conference title.
Yeah, and they'll have him back for the playoffs.
Right, but here's the...
Now,
here's
he
the
may not be 100%, but
no,
I don't know.
No, he won't be. But I think by the time the games get serious, the Western Conference Finals, I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, they're still four games ahead of the Spurs, and they're still pretty damn good without him. They still have
Remember,
three
they didn't
really
have him
good
last
players.
Year, and they were okay. Their top three guys are better than everybody else's top three guys. Save maybe, I mean, maybe you can argue for San Antonio. I mean, Cleveland doesn't have their top three healthy either, so you can't argue for them. I mean, besides San Antonio, does anyone else even come close with their top three guys?
Not really.
I don't think so. And even them, I don't know. I don't think it's really even the same stratosphere. So, you know, I think Golden State will do just fine. I bet you see a heavy uptick in production for Steph Curry. Heavy.
Yeah, they've got guys who can just take more shots.
Right.
Essentially. Landon said your Tuesday was his Sunday, AJ. So he.
Oh, boy.
And from Zach, what are the odds of potential GSP Bisping fight as a dud?
I mean, I don't know that it'll be a dud. I think it's interesting because we get to see GSP fight. I mean, that's to me, that makes it automatically a fight that I want to see. Do I think that fight will be ultra competitive? Not particularly. I think that I still think GSP is a better fighter than Michael Bisping. I think Michael Bisping's the worst champion in the sport, and stylistically, it's a pretty bad matchup for Bisping. But I'm interested to see it because I'm interested to see what GSP looks like after the time off.
All right. Well, we'll probably talk a lot more about that. What are the odds that comes up again? Probably about 95%.
It'll probably come up.
Yeah. All right. But right now, we got to tell you about Blue Apron. That's what we're going to be doing tonight is eating the meal from Blue Apron that came right to our door. And it's the quality ingredients. It's affordable. It's less than $10 a person per meal. You got a great variety. You get new recipes each week. And the wife likes those a lot. She'll keep a lot of them. And we'll use them again and again. You can customize your recipe. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. So it doesn't get any easier than that. They can all be prepared in 40 minutes or less.
Yeah, soy-glazed chicken with soba noodles, broccoli, and cashews headed my way this week. And the freshness guaranteed, they promise that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. It's so easy to do. Anyone can do it. Even me and Fred, we can do it. And if we can do it, anybody can do it. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Still waiting on our guest here. But Beth Liebling will join us at 6:15 today for Pillow Talk, which should be fun. She'll be back in studio. And we have a very special one planned for next week. So
they're all special, though.
Well, yeah. They're like children, right?
Right. So, well, no, that'd be weird.
A little bit. All right. Our current guest, though, is going to be doing sideline for Rockets Clippers. 9:30 p.m. after the Celtics-Cavaliers, J.A. Adonde joins us. How are you, sir? Good to have you on.
Okay, good. How you guys doing? Beautiful day in L.A. Perfect.
Yeah, not bad. We were talking in the last segment about the Kevin Durant injury and the impact that it would have on the rest of the regular season. And, you know, I'm of the belief that the Warriors without Kevin Durant are basically the same team they were last year, minus – and I don't want to say minus minor pieces, but relatively minor pieces, Harrison Barnes. Do you think that the Durant injury is going to derail what they're doing this season or have any impact whatsoever on where they finish up the regular season?
I do, and I'm not of the belief that, minus Kevin Durant, they're just back to merely being the team that won 73 games last year. They are without two starters on that team. A guy in Harrison Barnes who allowed them to first go with that small lineup that became so fearsome. He was a part of that, and his defensive versatility was one of the things that enabled them to do that. And Andrew Bogut was a guy that allowed them to match up with certain teams too and to give them some rim protection. A lot of people make note of the fact that, you know, their defense is supposed to be much worse, and here they are tops and block shots. Well, there's different types of block shots. And you can get block shots that come from helping out on the weak side, or you can get block shots that come from simply standing between the rim and guys who attempt to drive. And Bogut did the latter. Guys early in the season told me that, you know, they weren't afraid at all to drive to the basket against the Warriors. So that was something that changed about them. This is a different team. Just different things like, you know, maybe not having Leandro Barbosa as a backup guard. This is a different roster from last year. And they have to find some way to find some continuity now and to learn to play. First, they had to learn to play with Durant, Now they have to learn to play without Durant with a group that was very different from the team that won 73 games last year.
Who picks up those minutes? Is it Looney? Is it Iguodala?
Well, of course, they're bringing in Matt Barnes as well. The other thing, too, is they don't want to, run these guys into the ground chasing the number one seed in the absence of Durant. You don't want to play Iguodala too many minutes. You don't want to play Livingston too many minutes. These are guys who are not, really equipped to play a lot of minutes at this stage in their career. So, they have to be careful, and they need to keep their eye on the bigger picture, and that's winning the championship, even if it means having to go through as a number two seed. It's just we haven't seen this group, try to do it without home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Home court played a big role in them winning Game 7 in the conference finals. Obviously, it didn't help them out when they lost the last two games at home during the NBA finals. But, this is new territory for this group. And, coming in, maybe they'll be coming into the playoffs as not the prohibitive favorite for the first time in a couple of years.
The game you're doing with the Rockets and the Clippers is an important game for seeding. The Rockets playing really well right now, but they're going into a pretty good stretch where they play the Clippers, Memphis, San Antonio, Utah, in Chicago, and then the Cavs. I mean, this is a pretty solid run that the Rockets are about to go on. How important is this matchup tonight, knowing that they've got three games or two games left going up against these Clippers?
Well, for that reason, it's important for the just for the mathematics, the logistics of it, and seeding. But also, I do think it is a sense of where these two teams stand. I think even if the Clippers catch the Rockets in the standings, I think the Rockets are just better positioned coming in. Maybe not literally, but I just feel like, this team knows exactly what it is, how it wants to play, doubled down on that when they went out and brought in Lou Williams and decided, we're going to score, and score some more and bring in 3-point threats. So I just like the Rockets and where they are, the maybe recent missteps notwithstanding. I just feel like they have a better sense of who they are than the Clippers, who just got Chris Paul back, who, shortly before that got Blake Griffin back right before the All-Star break, and, are still learning to play again with this group and where they are at this stage in their careers.
I've been pretty hesitant all year to put the Rockets in a contender status. I mean, even though they've been the three seed most of this season, I'm honestly not sure if I put San Antonio in contender status for the NBA title. But do you look at the Rockets as a team who could actually win a championship, or are they one of the small group of teams that you think have a legit shot?
I think they could win the West. I'm not saying that's out of the question. I think they match up well with both teams ahead of them. And, if they get hot at the right time, especially, that you figure, okay, they're good enough to win a couple games against any team on their own merit. Maybe they have a crazy shooting game and win a third game, and then something fluky could happen, and there's the fourth win. So it's not that far-fetched. I would have a hard time imagining them beating Cleveland and stopping LeBron in the NBA Finals if that were the matchup that were to be. But I just think this team matches up with the teams it would have to beat to get through the West. I just think, and again, if they get hot, I mean, it's going to be a challenge for anybody to keep up with them if the threes are falling.
Do you think that style's going to translate to the playoffs, though? Is Harden going to get as many free throws as he does? We've seen that in the past. Do you think the way they're playing is going to work in the playoffs?
It does, and that used to be the way people would say, well, the game slows down in the playoffs. It was just accepted as a fact. But there's no reason it has to, and especially given the fact that a number of teams want to play fast in the playoffs. Now, obviously, you play the Memphis Grizzlies, it's going to be a slower game. But, Utah, it's not going to be such a fast-paced game, too. But that's a function of the matchup, not necessarily a function of the teams. But if you play the Warriors, it's going to be a fast-paced game. That's the way the Warriors want to play. The Spurs, to a degree, play, faster than they once did. They might not be the fastest team out there, but the Spurs are going to play, to a degree with tempo. So, the Clippers would play pretty fast. They want to get the ball up and down the court. So it doesn't automatically mean that the game is going to slow down just because it's the playoffs. It depends who you play in the playoffs.
Jay Adande is our guest. He will be doing sideline for the Rockets, Clippers. I look at the bottom of the Western Conference here, where the Pelicans go out and get Cousins, And you look at really that 7 through 13 range, is that going to be enough for them to make a difference? And who do you think slides into that 7-8 spot down there?
It's tough for the Pelicans just because they're having to adjust to such a different way of playing, bringing in such a major piece and everyone adjusts. And the thing is, Cousins and Anthony Davis have played well together. They've certainly produced big numbers as a tandem, but can they get the entirety of their team involved? And sometimes it's hard to play with a star. There's an art to that, to learning how to sacrifice your game, to learning how to play, in the creases so much as opposed to having the ball in your hands more often. So I'm not sure there's enough time left in the season for them to make this adjustment. It's strange the way the schedule has broken down now, where the bulk of the games, the vast majority of the games, are played before the All-Star break, which means they're also played before the trading deadline. So you see these late deals made, and it's kind of like the NHL now, where there's less time to put it together for the playoffs. And I think that matters. I'm a believer that cohesion, continuity, and familiarity matter. And that's one reason why, again, I like the Rockets, that they've had a group. When you look at Harden and Ariza and Beverly, these are guys who spent some time together, and I think that'll benefit them. And that's something that the Pelicans don't have.
Looking on the other coast, you think there's anybody who can challenge the Cavaliers come playoff time? I've been watching the Wizards, and after their start, which was horrendous, they started out 3-9. They've been one of the best teams in the league since, and no one's talking about them. I mean, do you think they could challenge them? The Celtics, the Raptors, who do you see giving any kind of test to Cleveland?
I don't see it happening. Maybe they'll be a little more challenged than they were last year going through the Eastern Conference, but I don't see anyone who's equipped on that side of the bracket to beat LeBron four times. And the Warriors, they beat him a total of five times, six times in the series, seven times even. but they didn't get the full LeBron, and they weren't able to beat him in the series last year. Look how equipped they were last year, and they weren't able to beat him. So if that Warriors team couldn't beat him, the Warriors team got pushed to six games when he didn't have Kyrie with him. I don't see who in the East is going to beat LeBron James plus Kyrie Irving. And I like the additions they made, just to shore up the back of the rotation, those buyout pickups that they made in Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut. Well, as soon as that becomes official, I just feel like they have all the pieces. And now, especially with the Kevin Durant injury news, they could be looking at repeat.
One more before we let you go. Big topic down here has been the MVP race, obviously, because Harden's name has come up a lot in that. As of today, if they continue on the way they're continuing, who's your MVP?
Well, the thing is, if they had just gone the way they'd gone, I liked Harden. I thought he'd done more to make his team elite. That's how I define MVP. What player does the most to make his team elite? But the way Westbrook has been playing of late, and the way the Thunder has been rising, and they made some nice additions too before the trade deadline. If they can keep climbing, if they can get in the upper half of the Western Conference, top four seed, to me that slides it over to Westbrook, as great as Harden has been playing. I went back and forth with Harden and Steph Curry a couple years ago. I ultimately decided on Curry literally last minute. It could be that way again. It's clearly been those two. I've been leaning toward Harden most of the year, but lately Westbrook has been swinging me over to his side.
All right, that's J.A. Adande. He will be doing sideline for Rockets Clippers after the Celtics Cavaliers. J.A., we really appreciate the time. Good stuff, man, and enjoy the game.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about my computer career. Listen, the years keep sliding by, and it's already March, and if you're not in a career or a job you love, stop wasting time. Don't waste another day. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. My Computer Career is the IT school where you can get trained to work in the high-demand field of IT and start your new life as an information technology pro in as little as 3 to 4 months, even with no IT experience. You attend classes live online or on campus just twice a week to get the skills and industry certifications you're going to need to start your new career. It's more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry because they partner with hundreds of employers that hire their students. What are you waiting for? Start making that money today. My Computer Career, nationally accredited, and financial aid's available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Story ever told.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. What are the odds Wednesday if you want to get in? So no guests for a little while, so phones are open to you. Get into anything you want. He did not quite agree with our assessment of the Warriors.
No, he did not.
So,
but that's all right.
Yeah, maybe you get better odds on him. 713 asks, what are the odds I'm the only one that actually wants Jay Cutler in Houston next year?
It depends on what the alternative is. I mean,
if it's another year of the ostrich.
Yeah, would I take Jay Cutler over everybody who was on the roster last year? Absolutely, in a heartbeat. Would I prefer other things? Sure.
The question is, does it make them a legitimate contender? And the answer to that, to me, is no.
Probably not.
I don't think he does.
But, I think he's good enough to win them the AFC South again, put him back in the playoffs, if he can stay healthy.
Right. Played last year.
Yeah, let's also remember Jay Cutler is no longer, you know, a 16-game-a-year guy. It's kind of the same concerns about him that I would have about Tony Romo is – if you sign him, how often is he going to be on the field? Jay has plenty of warts. I don't think he's a Super Bowl quarterback. But given the rest of the team, he gives you a shot. Now, the team would also – it would look a lot different. The offense would have to look a lot different under Jay. You know, and that there's probably – I don't know if there would be more pressure on the defense than there was last year. I don't know if that's possible. But it wouldn't be a safe, you know, ball control type offense. You've got to deal with quick changes with Jay Cutler, but you also deal with explosive plays, which you didn't really get from Brock. I wouldn't be opposed to Jay. He'd be down my list of preferences a little ways, though.
So what would your preference list be then? If you get to make a list right now. Where is he on that list, and who would you have ahead of him?
I mean, Tony Romo, it would be number one. That would be the ideal situation. He gets cut, comes here on a backloaded 2-year deal. That would be the ideal situation. I don't know. Like, I wonder if would I rather have Jay Cutler or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Or Phillip Rivers.
I think if you could get Phillip Rivers, I would rather have him. I mean, that to me seems like more of a long shot. I'd rather have Phillip Rivers than Tony Romo, honestly. But just because I feel like Phillip will probably play 16 games.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport did report yesterday that the Broncos are in the driver's seat to add Romo if he takes a pay cut.
Okay.
So that, but I think that story is going to change week to week until, or day to day until somebody actually signs him. But yeah, I think I'm kind of with you on that. That'd be my first choice. Garoppolo, depending on what you had to give up for Garoppolo, because you are going to have to give something up. Now, the Patriots say they're not going to trade him, but I'm sure they're just driving the price up.
I mean, if you could sign Jay Cutler off the street or give up a first-round draft pick to get Garoppolo, to me it's not even a question. I'll take Jay Cutler. Because with that first-round draft pick you gave up, you can find a guy that you believe in or even not, the second round, whatever, and develop a quarterback. Because I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is. I know what Jay Cutler is. He's pretty limited, especially at this point, on how far he can take you. But I would say I trust in Jay Cutler more than I trust in him because I know what Jay Cutler is. I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Jimmy Garoppolo might not even be a guy who's – I mean, we've seen about as much – we've seen less Jimmy Garoppolo than we saw Brock Osweiler before the Texans signed him.
Yeah. The flip side of this is who knows what – anybody's going to be any good under Bill O'Brien.
That's true.
So.
But then there's other guys that – man, I wonder if, you know, if a guy like Matt McGloin isn't the worst thing for a stopgap. He's probably relatively cheap, and could you roll with him for a year and until you can dump Osweiler and actually throw some money into it? I don't know. Those are kind of the things you have to weigh. Like, do you want a guy who's going to cost more money now, or can you bite the bullet and go with a Matt McGloin type for a year and, you know, wait until Osweiler's off the books and then throw some big money at another guy?
It's almost like you're punting on next year, though, because those guys are. Is that really different than what you did with Brian Hoyer?
I mean, no,
same kind of guy.
Not.
Nick says AJ McCarron over Jimmy G is, in my opinion, the best option. Will cost you much less for a similar player. I'd be okay with a guy like that or a guy like Brett Hundley if you're getting him on the cheap, because I think those are guys that might be able to play, and you're not paying them $72 million. 713-780-3776. It is What Are the Odds Wednesday. D. Trent says, noticing a trend, every guest seems to always have a different opinion than you guys do when it comes to assessing Houston teams. Well, that's why we have them on, so we can get some different perspectives. But it's always fun to have somebody who disagrees with us.
Although, you may remember the trend where R.J. Bell said that the Texans were vastly underrated.
Yes.
And then by the end of the season, he came around to it that, okay, they just sucked.
We've had some good disagreements with RJ. I would say more often than not, when it comes to the local teams, we wind up being right, and it just makes people mad.
That's okay.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder about the Astros too now, but that's another story. So we asked, what are the odds somebody signs Manziel? I love this that came out a little while ago. Report: Johnny Manziel attracting real interest at NFL Combine. His agent took him back, Eric Burkhart, and he's trying to get back in the league. I'm going to guess that's the agent dropping that people are interested in him just to see if anybody's interested in him. I can't imagine him getting much of a look other than maybe somebody brings him into camp as a backup.
I don't even think that happens. You talk about guys who aren't worth the headache. We were talking about Joe Mixon, was it last week? And whether or not it's worth the PR nightmare.
Yeah.
I assume if Joe Mixon got drafted, he would be he'd be on the field. He would be probably a starting running back, or at least a half of a two-man running back group. Why would you take the PR hit for a backup quarterback? I mean,
that's the thing. I stick by what I've said all along. I just don't think he can play in the NFL.
I don't either.
And I know teams are desperate for quarterbacks. So, well, why not take a chance? Because it's probably not going to work, and there's too much baggage to go with it.
Why do you want Johnny to get a chance?
Yeah. What has he done to deserve one?
He's done nothing off the field to deserve a chance. He never did anything on the field to deserve more of a chance than what he got. I don't get it. I don't get why people are so fascinated with having that dude on the field.
They still just remember him as Johnny from A&M.
That's what they're remembering. And if you take that out of the equation, there's literally no upside to the guy.
832, do you dare stick with the ostrich if you just want a one-year stopgap?
God, I mean, you talk about punting on the season. I mean, that's exactly what you're doing there. But you're going to have to bring in one quarterback this year anyway. There has to be somebody, whether he's a rookie, whether he's somebody. But you have to have someone to push Osweiler and Savage. It can't be a competition between those two guys, because whoever wins that competition, the Texans, they don't win.
Yeah.
Those are two backup quarterbacks. And I know everyone's still, there's still people who believe that Tom Savage is something that he's not.
I haven't seen anything out of him.
Tom Savage is a backup quarterback.
And he can't stay on the field anyway.
Right. So let's stop with the, well, they've got that. I remember that people would always say, oh, they've got the guy in their own backyard already. No, that's Tom Savage isn't the guy. Tom Savage is a backup quarterback. So I don't know. I think they've got to bring somebody in. You can't, because everyone knows why the Texans were so limited last year. It's because of that position. If you go into the next season making no changes at that position, what kind of GM are you? What kind of organization are you really?
Right. And that's the thing. And 409 says, I know that he's way overpaid, but Brock was basically a rookie last year. What are the odds he makes some big steps and has a good season next year? Do I think he'd be better? Yeah.
But it's almost impossible for him to be worse.
Right. And the basically a rookie thing is not, I mean, that's just BS. I mean, the guy played half a season with the Broncos. He's been in the league long enough. You're not basically a rookie.
He was drafted in 2012.
Yeah.
There's no basically a rookie about it.
No.
I mean, this was his first year full-time as a starter, but there's no basically a rookie. I mean, if you're in the league since 2012, you're in film rooms every day since 2012, you're on the practice field every day since 2012. No, there's no basically a rookie. Dude's been in the league for a while.
I don't know who started saying that. I think it was Bob McNair. That's just ridiculous. I'll tell you what's not ridiculous, though. Getting some money down at usracing.com. And if you want to get into the horse race betting, they have you covered. Matter of fact, that's what I did Monday afternoon for a little bit and got in a few races. I had work to do, so I couldn't get out to the track. So you know what I did? Got on my phone and bet on Sam Houston yesterday. You can bet over 200 tracks from your computer, tablets, and your phone. They offer daily rebates with bets on horses, jockeys, even trainers. Bets are safe, fun, and secure. And new players could qualify for a $150 sign-up bonus. And I'm telling you, instant deposits, very easy, quick payouts. You get paid fast. How fast? They have the fastest payouts of any online horse racing site. And it's not just that. They've got free horse racing news, all kinds of cool stuff on their site that you can get caught up with what's going on in the world. You got past performances, you name it. And horse betting rebates up to 8%. So you get paid on all your horse betting with no limits. And I'm telling you, man, this site is user-friendly. It's terrific. I've been using it now since they came on board, and I love it. Excellent customer support. The customer comes first at BetUS Racing. They deliver quality service to every player. Get your blood rushing again at usracing.com or give them a call at 1-844-US-RACING now to set up your account. Use promo code PONY. That's usracing.com.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. What are the odds Wednesday? If you care to get in on the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, which is available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And how about this? How'd you like to win a Bedrock City Comic Company gift card and T-shirt? $25 gift card. All you have to do is pick a superhero or supervillain from any game from the weekend or earlier this week. You know, Kevin Durant's knee, for instance. Tweet it to Degenerates975 what the reason their superpower that made them a superhero or supervillain. Jong will pick a winner at the end. Tag Bedrock City Comics on it. You're gonna get the winner gets a $25 gift card and a T-shirt. Let's go to that HR&P listener line and get Justin on. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
Going sports.
Sports. I had a what are the odds question.
All right.
Yeah, I've seen that Jerry Jones' grandson just won a state championship in Texas. I was wondering what other odds that he'd be the future quarterback of the Cowboys, that maybe Jerry Jones just waiting on him to get up there.
God, I mean, I have no idea. The kid's a high school kid. I don't know if he – I don't know anything about the guy, honestly. It's
yeah, check back in 4 years.
Yeah. Let me know where that guy's playing college ball at.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't pay any attention to anybody in high school.
I don't pay attention to recruiting or recruiting ranking. I don't know what kind of a player he is. I have no idea. I don't think that I don't even think Jerry Jones is dumb enough to put a guy on his – on his football team just because he's his grandson, if he can't play ball. If the guy can play, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I can't give any opinions on these guys until I see him in college.
I want me some glory hole.
I don't think he's going to get that from his grandson.
That's a little bit gross.
It's inappropriate.
Somebody says he's 5'10 and slow.
No, then, he won't play for the Cowboys. In fact, he's honestly probably playing for his high school team because he's Jerry Jones' grandson.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, I don't know if we talked about this, but Fargo's coming back in April. You know what else is coming back?
What else?
Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah, April. Yeah, I saw that. It seems like so far away.
Yeah, well, it's not. Today's March 1st.
Today's March now, yeah.
We're a month away from actually getting a couple shows back. Plus, The Leftovers is coming back.
Yeah.
Which I'm on, but
I'll tell you what, man. We've been talking about The Blacklist, and everybody always asks why you don't watch it. My wife and I were watching it the other night, and we looked at each other and we're like, "What are we doing? Why are we still watching this show?" And I think I'm going to finish out this season, and whatever happens after this season, I just don't care.
Well, that's how I felt after last season, and so I ejected. The wife still watches it, but
I mean, it's not getting better.
But I can't wait for Better Call Saul, man. That's
a good ass
that
show.
That is just a really, really good show.
When does Thrones come back? May?
No, it's going to be later this year because they couldn't film everything because winter's here, so they had to film everything later.
Well, they knew winter was coming.
Well, but winter's here. And because winter is actually here, it's probably going to be June.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen an actual release date on that yet, but plus they had some delays because of the weather. And yeah, it's
come on, guys.
I know. That's the one. That's the one we're all waiting for. But we're gonna have to keep waiting on that one. But we'll have some stuff to tide us over finally. You know, we'll have Better Call Saul, Leftovers, and Fargo, and I'll have MST3K.
I'm guessing Fargo is a different storyline than. I mean, it's going to be like the first two where it's just totally separate stories?
Right, separate stories. This one's supposed to be set in 2010, so it's going to be closer to
modern times.
Right, and there'll be some tie-ins. And yeah, I hope, because I thought last year was incredible except for that one scene.
The alien scene. Yeah, that ruined everything.
Yeah, and it's almost like somebody just...
It was like this. It was the same thing with the last episode of Preacher. I was like, What is happening? Like, they do a good season, and then they have to have the corniest thing at the end.
Yeah, and that's how I felt about that. The OA, the last scene where I'm just laughing out loud at something which you shouldn't be laughing at.
No,
that's not a good scene. And a lot of people ask about that Sneaky Pete. I watched about the first four of those. Like it, don't love it.
Okay,
so.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, they're filming right now, or they've started filming several weeks ago, and this is some of the weather conditions that they're going through right now. They say they have been shooting amid 100 mile per hour winds and minus 25 Celsius, that's minus 13 Fahrenheit wind chill. And they said daylight is scarce here, 5 to 6 hours a day. Super jeeps are needed to bring in equipment, and much is then transported by hand. The actors are made up and dressed in hotels and driven to the location 90% of the time, ready to shoot. Shelter is provided by Russian tents that are anchored down and able to be heated and withstand 100-mile-per-hour winds. The winds are made to made it hard to record dialogue between characters, so they're having trouble recording the sound. The insider continued saying that the high winds caused words to be whipped away, shouting became the norm, and despite the cold, there has been an issue with the lack of snow in low land locations.
I gotta ask, why are they filming there then?
because it's, I guess, really, really cold.
Yeah, they're trying to make it look as realistic as possible.
So if you wanted to film in a place that's really cold, then you're bitching about it being cold?
I don't know if they're bitching about it, but that's kind of the conditions that they're filming in.
Yeah, now, like when you go to places where you're like, yeah, we want to shoot where there's really harsh conditions because we want it,
right?
You know, you want it to look like it's harsh conditions. You have to realize that when you do that, you have to deal with said harsh conditions. That's like saying, oh, we want to shoot our movie in the middle of the desert and then complaining there's no swimming pool. I mean, that's kind of what you're signed up for.
The one thing I do know that they did was when they record scenes with the dire wolves, they do that in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there will be dire wolves this season because they're recording a lot up there. Now, whether or not that's just Ghost or whether Nymeria is back, I don't know. But they have gone up to record to film in Canada.
Winter is coming.
Yeah, but not until July. That's going to be kind of weird.
Winter is coming in July.
Yeah, we're going to be watching this in July in these horrible conditions. And we'll be baking as hot as it is now. I think it's going to average about 110 a day.
What a mess.
All right. We'll get to your phone calls next segment at 713-780-3776. But right now, got to tell you about Harry's Razors. And guys, you might not think about razors, but you should. Because usually what I used to do, I'd wait till the last minute, and then I'd go into a store, and I'd just grab something, and that would be that. But Harry's is so much different because it's convenient, it's affordable, it's delivered right to your mailbox, and it's just awesome to be able to not have to worry about it because they make quality blades, and they make them at their own factory, so they sell them directly to you. They can offer the blades at half the price, so you don't ever have to go to the store. They'll set you up on a plan, and it'll just show right up there when you need them, just like it did the other day. I needed replacement razors. Boom. They had it timed out right there. They're so confident you're going to love their blades. They're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes a Truman set ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. That's an $18 value for you to try, but this offer is only available for Blitzers if you use promo code BLITZ at harrys.com when you check out. So start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer, $18 value for free, just cover shipping. And guys, this makes a great gift too. If you want to give somebody a gift and have it sent right to them, this is a way to do it. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now and enter code BLITZ at checkout. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
ESPN 97.5.